At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Ruggiero, here on the Tour Coach podcast. These are the people and the stories and the folks that I work with, meet with, run across, teach in my daily, day-to-day travels, from whether it's in Mobile at my studio to down at Old Palm in Palm Beach Gardens, or maybe even hanging out at Joey D's gym a little with Colby Touye and Aaron McConley, or up at Bluebell in Philly, or a live event, or a tour event, or wherever it is we may travel teaching the game of golf. We're going to be bringing it to you here on the Tour Coach. It's insight designed to help you teach, grow, and play the game better. None of this would be possible without my boy Mitch McConnell, McConnell Automotive, Buick GMC, Bushnell Golf, Shrikshon Cleveland Golf, and of course the folks back home, Stokely's Midtown Garden Center. You can't forget Blaine, or Taylor Martino and Rowan, our boy Ed Rowan. But thanks for all the support through all the years. Keep listening here to the Tour Coach. Go to Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. I think you're going to like what you see.
So here we are. So Doc, introducing Doc Bonacor, who's become a friend as well as a student here up at Bluebell. And tell everybody how we met. Like, so you would come to me, and most of the time when a student your age, not saying you're old, right?
No.
A little older.
Yeah.
But comes to you and I saying, like, how did you find me? And you said social media.
Yes.
I was like, what the hell? Right? That's not what I was thinking. And so tell everybody, so you're a neurosurgeon.
Yes, I'm a neurosurgeon.
Practicing in
Philadelphia, now New Jersey.
For sure the smartest guy at the state. So I want to talk a little bit about how you learn, okay? Because I've passed them on to Jackson, so many gold nuggets from working with you, right? And first of all, talk to me, tell everybody why you found the stuff we put out on social media interesting and why you came to see us.
Well, first of all, between Instagram and a podcast, I found it very relatable, very relatable. It wasn't overly technical. It was something that I said, oh, that makes sense. That's practical. To me, it came more, instead of numbers, it was body mechanics. If you swing this way, your body reacts that way. And being a physician, I could relate and understand to that. And I'm also, my undergrad was engineering, so that also made a lot of sense.
Double whammy dealing with him.
So I could understand when you put too many numbers and think you get lost. But when you, it's sort of like when you do an experiment and you have it on paper and then you do it, there's two different things. And the way you explained it was more body motion and mechanics rather than throwing out track man numbers and swing angles and things of that nature, where person who is the average golfer can't appreciate that. doesn't understand that. That's basically getting too far in the weeds.
And, you know, so at some point you're going to meet Colby. I'll bring him up here, right? But he helped me a lot understanding how the body moves. I'd always taught pivot.
Right.
But a lot of what he taught me was about how to teach people new ways to move and new movement patterns.
Yes.
And one of the first things I bounced off of you, I think, during our first lesson was, you know, my old mentor, Hank, had told me once, he did this experiment. I don't know if I told you about it, but he had two brothers. They owned a car dealership. One had a family, couldn't ever practice. And one was single and liked to play, practice all the time, and could go hit. He went and hit balls every day. The brother who had the family did stuff without a ball, without a club, and a mirror, and then played his once a week. And this was a very unscientific experiment. But at the end of the year, the one who couldn't go hit balls every day did the stuff in the mirror's handicap dropped by like 30% more than the other.
Well, then again, body movements. And then the biggest thing is he's actually seeing what he's doing. So you're hitting a ball and you may think you're doing it, but when you're in the mirror, you can actually see what you're doing.
So talk about that. You told me the whole thing about the cerebellum and about how, yes, on the premise that when you go full speed, so anybody out there that's listening to us or watching us, when you go full speed with a club, with a ball, you basically do what you've always done.
Right. You're actually, okay, if I threw a ball to you, you would just go like this and grab it. No particular way. You would just react to it. Mm-hmm. But if I were to put it in slow motion, you would gradually bring it in a right angle and catch it appropriately. So in slow motion, you are able to dictate your movements. With the other one, it's just basically your cerebellum, which is your balance. I've always said that athletes probably have the biggest cerebellum. They have the best coordination. So that's your coordination center, and that's all you're relying on. But by doing something slow, you're taking your forebrain and your cerebral hemispheres and then dictating into the cerebellum. And then the cerebellum is just smoothing out and coordinating it. So I see people that have traumatic injuries to their cerebellum, and that's where the term spasticity comes. And they can't move, and they have rigidity and everything because they don't have those coordination fibers. Even though the intent is there, they don't have it. So what you can do is you have to use the whole brain. So by doing slow motion, you're trying to dictate it, and then the cerebellum is just smoothing it out. It's taking out the wrinkles. And then it gets to the point where you're just reacting.
Right, which is what happens when you go full speed. Like if a tour player on the tee, first tee of a major, he goes full speed, his body's going to react. He's going to do whatever it is in there that he knows how to do.
When he's hitting balls on the tee, he does not want to think. He just wants to react. Now he just wants to put it in autopilot.
So how do we train people? What are the best ways to help people get to where when they go full speed and react, it's the new shit?
Okay. I had a professor that, and then this even applied in neurosurgery. Neurosurgery has two components. It has the intellectual component. You have to understand the brain, and it has the actual coordination. You have to be able to operate. I knew a couple of guys that, after 4 years, got kicked out because they just didn't have hands. So you have to be coordinated.
That would be an operation I kind of would like you to have good hands.
Right. So my
just
point,
say,
my,
that and a vasectomy, the two,
yeah,
things.
Exactly.
I really,
so the point being is you need to be coordinated, but you need to teach it. And he used to say, the mother of all learning is repetition, both mentally and intellectually, but also physically. So it takes like 10 years to be a neurosurgeon, and you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And it gets to the point, I wish I could go off like I operate. I'm in the OR. I used to play sports. I was a baseball and hockey player and stopped at high school. That's the only time where I feel like I'm back doing sports because my hands and everything just move. But I don't think about this. I think about this, what I need to get accomplished, but my hands just react. So a golfer needs to think about what he does in practice, but when he comes to golfing, he needs to react, but he has to get to that level. And the way you get to it is repetition and body movements and slow motion and then going faster.
So All right, so let's talk. I want to talk about the practice swing because that was new today.
Yes.
And, you know, I know that there's people that don't do it and all that. But I tell people when they're – I ask people a lot, you've taken enough lessons from me. I ask them to rehearse, right, and to do it slow. Why does a practice – is that good? And why does a practice swing help somebody get better and learn?
So from a neurophysiologic view, what you're doing is – you're activating the cells in the brain called neurons. And the neurons talk to other neurons through synapses. And so when you're doing it slow motion, you're saying it very slowly, loudly, and it's getting there. And the next time you do it, they've already heard it, and then they can do it. So analogous to, say you lived in the Northeast, and your driveway had snow. You plowed it deliberately straight down, and then right behind you, your relative came out, whether it be your son or your wife, drove straight down the road right after. If you wait 6 hours later, you can't do that. So you slowly do the first track plowing. The second time you go through, you can go really quickly and easily. So same thing with the highway of the brain, to be analogous. The neurons will make the initial one. They fire this electrical stimulus. They're still reacting. And then the second one comes in much easier, much quicker. And they actually, we've known for a fact. So you have a neuron and another neuron, and in the middle is the highway, which is your synapses. And that's actually called, they have myelin. And myelin is the coating. And they found out with repetition, you get thicker and thicker myelin. So the coating gets better and thicker, and you could do it over and over and over.
It's like making a track. Basically.
You're making a track. You're literally making a track. And we know that physiologically that you're making more of a track, more of a mile. Now, if you're doing it the wrong way, you're going to make the wrong track.
Which goes back to like the story I told you about the old teacher, Tom Ness, who told the guy, when you go practice, you're just getting better at not being any good, right?
Right.
This guy
exactly.
Just went full speed and he didn't slow down and he didn't try to make a change, right?
Exactly.
Going at full speed.
So that's why when I deliberately practice, but I also try to get the feedback because I do like to practice, but I don't want to put in bad errors.
Okay. So one of the things we chatted about on the range, and this was happenstance. Some of it was just because, you know, sometimes you figure things out of necessity for something else, right? Like, so we would have these groups of good young players, and we had to see them all and get them through, and we'd put them in groups, but they would come in and they'd only, just based on the people we had and the time, they were going to get 20 to 30 minutes in the bay. And then they would go do the chipping and putting, and then they'd go do, you know, they go do some something else, and then they'd come back to us. And I was always stressed and worried that the player wasn't getting enough. Right. Like that was me because I'm used to 1 hour lessons or 2 hours. And I had a good player who's now pro, Will McFadden. Yeah. And Will said to me at the end of the weekend, he said, that's the best one of these has ever been. And that's the most I've gotten out of it. I was feeling stressed. Like I was feeling like people didn't get enough. And I said, well, why? And he said, because I got to go in there and I got my info and I got a little bit of, you know, feedback. And then I got to go do something else and kind of think and process it and do other stuff. And then when I came back, I was a little further along and we got to analyze, had I processed it right or done it right versus leaving at the end of 2 hours.
Right.
So is that a better way to
learn? That's absolutely a better way for two reasons. One, that's the way your brain works. And two, you may think you're doing it right because you're just doing it over and over, but you really haven't implemented it. Whereas when you walk away and you try to do it, your body and your mind will implement it for a longer period of time. It will stick. And it's almost like, again, what I know is medicine. If I need to give you medicine, I don't give you it all in one day. You take one pill a day for 7 days. It's effective. Even though I could give you 7 pills in one day, it's not effective. You can only take so much medicine in one day. And that's the same thing. The brain needs a chance to rest. Just like we talked about when you study, if you were to study for 6 hours and then sleep for 6 hours or sleep first for 6 hours, wake up early and cram for 6 hours and take the test, the person who slept on it for 6 hours would do better than the person who crammed 6 hours just prior to the test. And one would think, well, it was fresh in his mind, but no. You have to let your, the way the brain works, it has to absorb it. And basically, you have to give those cells a chance to develop that that cognitive tissue.
So, I love this. There you go. That's cool. Yeah, 100%.
So, what happens when you've got a player in front of you, if you're talking about body stuff, but they relate everything to hand?
Yes.
What's the difference between that?
One is feel as opposed to, what do you mean the hand?
So, the first time I got fired by a really good player.
Okay.
We were always doing pivot stuff because he would.
It'll happen again.
Because he would shift his pelvis off of it. His chest was over here and he would slide back under it, right? So he'd get under and hit blocks and hooks.
Right.
And we always worked on pivot stuff. So I was trying to correlate feels like that.
Right.
And it would look better face on video, but he would always tell me what he felt with his hands.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And I was always trying to hammer him on his body stuff.
Well, that's the whole thing. He was doing the end result. And Tony actually did. I'm a more handsy guy. And he made me concentrate more on my body. And
so
my hands
just reacted.
It was him. And what happens is your hands will control your body. So what I was trying to do was do everything with my hands. And my hands were leading my body. And we're leading and was setting my body out of it, swaying, whatever. But then it's sort of the dog wagging the tail. The body is dictating to the hand. So he would put the cart before the horse. So, but you're going to feel with your hands because here's again, and I don't want to get technical.
Yeah, no, you can get
there's different receptors. The most sensitive receptors, meaning touch, feel, pain, are in your fingertips and like in your lips and in your tongue. That's where the most sensitive area is. So if I took a pin and you could tell me exactly where it is on your finger, I say, open your eyes and you're exactly right. Now I take that pin and I put it on your back. You're like, oh, it's near my shoulder blade. The receptors aren't as much. Sort of like a TV doesn't have as many of the dots for, you know, HD TV. So your back only has 1,000, whereas your fingertip has 1,000,000. So people are going to have so much sensation in their hands that they're going to try to dictate their body what to do. Because when you do it with your body and you're turning your axial body, you're not feeling that feedback like you are in your hands. And I had to break that and I had to trust it. So my body was wagging my tail. So it was, and I was getting my hands out of it, and my hands were just naturally going into.
Does it feel like 5 or 10% of my lessons? I typically try to get the club to respond from the body, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But 5%, 10% of people, you do it with the club, and their body responds better. It's always funny to me when I figure out which one it is for that person.
Does that make sense? It does make sense. And I have another friend who keeps telling me he's a hands player, and every time he tries to change it, you know, and I think it's because he practices with his hands all the time, and he makes his swing adjust to where his hands are,
right.
And his body adjusts to where his hands are and reacts to that. But really, it's the body. But the thing about the body is, again, you don't have as many receptors in your body because you have to. You have to operate with your hands. You don't operate with your chest.
Yeah.
But once you get that the thing is, the body's your core. So you're going to get your strength and you're going to get your stability, and then everything else is going to fall into play.
And so one of the things I've learned in trying to train people is that it is using resistance, where like if you pull them into their fall, like if you slide it, and I've got a band that's pulling you into sliding, and you have to resist it and do the other.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to learn that quick.
It's reactionary. Yes. Yes. People will learn with reactionary.
But if I've put something there, like just up against their hip, like when you take it away, they haven't really learned.
No, because that's static.
Okay.
So you're doing action, reactionary, and that's how the body and the brain works, whereas the other one's just static. So they're not learning on that. They're just, so you're really not dictating what they do when you just put something against them, but when they have to react, you are dictating.
eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy. Perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes. So you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3 year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Fascinating. Yeah.
What about the difference between somebody that's young, middle-aged, and older?
That's great. Okay. And I've noticed this just empirically looking. Like, I've been practicing play for years, and I get a little bit better each year. And then I had my son who just went through the roof really quickly, and I see some of these kids at the country club. They start off as little swan, a little ugly ducklings, and they go to swans. And I'm like, how many years? It's the plasticity of the brain. The saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is not totally true. It just takes longer. So a puppy is going to learn much quicker than an older dog. So a younger person is going to learn quicker than a 20-year-old, and a 40-year-old is going to learn slower than the two before. That's just the way it is. It's just natural. But it doesn't mean it won't happen. So it will happen. It's just a slower pace.
So what about differences in teaching juniors versus somebody that's in there? Do the same drills work or do the same?
You know what I've noticed, and I sort of fascinated, because I play at a club where there's a lot of good players that started young and played in college and everything. And I remember once playing with this guy, and he had such a gorgeous swing. And his game, he shot in the low 80s, but nothing great. And I said, wow, your swing is so much better. He goes, well, I'm busy. I had kids. I played off. I was captain of my high school team. I played 1 year in college. I go, when did you start? He goes, well, I grew up on, I started when I was six. And it's like, and I've noticed the ones that have the most graceful swings are the ones who start really early, that have those natural graceful swings. And every time I see someone, I could always say, you started early. You started.
I think that people that become good players often, they pick it up later in life, but then become good players, often have swings that aren't what you would call
technically,
but they're very functional. They figured out how to make things functional.
You're exactly right.
They oftentimes go out and they just start playing, right? And they're trying to figure it out while they play.
Right.
So I think it becomes more functional versus having, I don't know if that's right or not.
That's what I've noticed, is that the other, you know, like, my son, again, and I only do it as a reference, not to, has a really, really nice swing. And I always ask him, he can't teach that. I just do it. I just do it. And he knows little stuff, but he doesn't know anything close to what you do. And he doesn't teach me, and I don't ask him to teach me.
Now, so if we have, so with the drills, like using those bands we've done, or the knee band, is that equally as effective with somebody that's 65 as it is with somebody that's 17?
I think it's probably more effective with the older people. I think the older you are, you have to do something more physical, more reactionary, and that the younger kids have that more plasticity and they could learn quicker and they don't need it as much or as long. Put it this way, the older person has to do it more often. So you could tell the young kid, do it once a week, or the older guy, you say, do it 10 minutes every day.
Right. But it, to me, younger people, like especially young kids developing, to me, you have a lot, they're able to be more visual and watch things and go do it.
Yes.
Versus an older person slowing them down and making them have to do it.
Yes.
Is more effective.
So yes, the older person needs to do the exercises or the drills in a slower pace than the younger person. Both would benefit from it, but it has to be, we'll use the term, more deliberate. The older you are, the more deliberate. The more deliberate.
Now, why is that? Is it because there's more shit up there?
There's just more scar tissue and everything. There's more neurons. It's just like, you know, you can remember everything when you're a young kid, and then when you get older, you don't remember anything. You see him, oh, but I can't remember his name. Well, it's just like a computer. There's so much data in there. Doesn't mean, has nothing to do with your intellectual ability. Has everything to do, there's just more interference. Mm-hmm. There's more interference. So we use the term in neurosurgery, there's more plasticity. It's a cleaner brain.
Is there a difference from male to female in training?
No.
Really?
There's a difference in brain size, but it doesn't mean anything. They've done intellectual studies and exactly the same, but a man's brain is 14 pounds, a woman's brain is 12 pounds, and has no effect on anything. And same thing with, no difference.
Yeah. I didn't know my brain was bigger than Yvonne's. I'm going to use that later.
There's no difference.
So slow is
the older you are, the slower you should do it.
But for anybody, is slower rehearsals and practices before you hit.
Just before you hit are better, right? Right.
Now, what about?
Do you ever see some of the pros? I was watching the British Open or the Open.
Yeah.
And I was watching Justin Rose, and he was doing a slow, deliberate move, and then he got up there and went. His practice swing was a slow, brought it back, went down, and went through. And there's several players that do that. And that's a great way to practice, is do the one move slow, and then right after, go do the other move.
How effective is slow moves in a mirror when you're not hitting? Does that help you learn?
It helps you learn, but it'd be better if you could do it in a mirror and then put a ball down, like maybe a styrofoam ball inside.
Really?
Yeah.
So as long as you're hitting
you have a target. You have a target. That's all you have to do.
Why is the target important?
Target here, focus. Or target out there?
No. Like, say if you're inside and it's winter and you have a mirror and you do a slow move and now you want to do the quick move, you can do the quick move and that's fine, but you could do the quick move and you have a little styrofoam ball and you do the quick move through that.
You got any more questions?
I have a thousand.
Ask you a couple. We got a couple more.
You go. I'm trying to sort it through.
Ask one. Come on.
So, what about training on the golf course?
Oh.
Because there's a massive difference.
Yes. I think, yes, absolutely. The closer you can get to what you want to accomplish, the best. Yes. So if we all lived in a perfect world and we could go and practice and take lessons on a course, that would be definitely more beneficial than a range. In fact, going back to what Tony said, if you did your 20 minutes of swing here and then your 20 minutes of putting, and then you went on a course, and that would be good. In fact, Tiger Woods, and if I had more time in my life, I read about stuff like he would say his best day was go in morning practice, then go play nine holes. And I found out myself the best thing, if I had time to go, and sometimes at my club, I'll go practice and I'll just like I did last night, and I'll go jump and play four holes. And it makes a difference. It makes the, and I was by myself, so I was very deliberate in everything I did, thought about everything I did, and sometimes even dropped the second ball.
Yeah.
Okay, what about kids playing other sports when they're growing up?
Best thing in the world. Okay. Best thing in the world. And again, and I'm only doing it as a reference, my son started off in baseball and hockey, really started off in hockey because I'm from the Northeast at the age 3 and a half, and then baseball. And the only reason why he picked up golf is because he would follow me to the course. And he had a nice swing, and he just picked it up, and he played different and continued to play all the way through high school. And then he got so good at golf, and he only grew to be 5'8". He said, "Dad, I'm a catcher. I'm 5'8". I'm not going to play in college." He goes, "But I could do that in golf, and I'd love it." And that's what he did. But I think multiple sports, and it goes back to developing those different neurons in your brain, the cerebellum and everything.
But good movement patterns, correct?
Good movement patterns. Anything with a stick and a ball or soccer. You ever notice some of the best – football players were soccer players and basketball players. Anything with a ball, anything hand-eye coordination, anything. Tennis, baseball, sticking the ball, hockey. And I think hockey is great because in hockey, you have to stabilize that lower body. Right. And you got to actually treat it as two axes, upper axis being the chest and shoulders, lower being the pelvis. And you have to have balance. In fact, the only way I learned how to hit out of the sand was I thought I was on skates when I was in the sand, and then I could hit the ball out of the sand. And they're like, "How do you hit the ball out of the sand? You know, and I go, "I just think about balance, and I always think I'm on skates and I'm hitting a puck."
We filmed this a couple weeks ago, a month ago, and it's going to come out in a few weeks, but a piece where I learned to tarpon fish, and then I taught the guy who taught me to tarpon fish how to golf, and he hadn't played golf 12, 13 years, right? And it was interesting because as we were going through it, and I'm going through the day, I'm trying to teach him. And then we said, like, when you cast, what do you do? And he's like, "Well, I wind like this and then I throw," right?
Right.
He throws it out there. I wouldn't stand there and go like that. And once he made the connection that it was the same basic movement, he was able to hit it really. I mean, here's a guy hadn't hit the ball in 12 years. He was ripping some 8 and 7 irons. But I think it's interesting how if you can help a person equate the movement to something they're already good at.
Absolutely.
Right? That they already know. And then once they know it's okay for it to be like that feel, they pick it up pretty.
Well, it's funny. Today you were telling me about the drill with my lower body and winding up with my chest and then the punch. And I didn't tell you, but I boxed a little when I was in the Boy Scouts. Nothing that I would ever tell anybody about, but I knew how to throw a punch.
But that's why I stayed.
I knew how to throw. My whole point is nothing that I would ever talk about. But as soon as you said that, I knew that how you don't punch with your arm, you punch with your chest and your lower body. That's one of the first things you learn. So when you did that, you noticed I picked it up right away. That was very relatable to me.
Right. Does that help people learn too? If you help them relate to a movement they already know.
And again, back to if you play different sports. And there is also, I hate to say it, there is also a certain amount of coordination.
Correct.
The better athletes are going to pick it up.
Well, that's why, like to me, these kids that play a lot of other sports, and then you get some kids that are good athletes that pick it up beginning of high school, and maybe they don't get good enough to go play major college golf because they only play competitively. But they normally can hit it really hard, and then a lot of them turn into be great players through continuing to play in college, right?
Yeah.
One more question.
Two. So what about if we're watching golf and it's terrible weather outside? What happens when your environment out there changes?
Well, what happens is that's more of a physiological thing. Your joints, your muscles are going to contract. They're going to get tight. Your joints aren't going to be as flexible. So golf has a lot of flexibility to it. In fact, as I get older, I spend less time practicing before a round, and I spend 45 minutes stretching, and it makes all the difference in the world. So when it's cold out, you're going to have contraction of your muscles. You're going to have tightening of the joints in your sockets and everything. You're not going to have the flexibility. So it's going to be just that much harder.
But then is that a different movement pattern? And then people that grew up in that weather, well, have those.
Yes, they know how to adjust to it. They know how to adjust it. Okay. Like Watson always played in lousy weather.
Right.
And he just knew exactly.
Okay. And what about creating speed for juniors? So like I've got a handful of kids that are tiny and they,
you know, the only thing, and I've read about this a lot. And the thing is, just tell them when they're young, hit it as hard as you can, as fast as you can, as hard as you can, as long as you stay in balance.
As long as
you stay in balance,
tell folks,
they could swing hard. But if a guy,
as long as you can stay in balance.
If you can stay in balance. So if you have one kid who's just swinging it and he's falling all over the place, you have to stay in balance.
That's what I told that kid.
Because if you don't stay in balance, that's where you're going to not only get bad habits, you're going to get injured. But you got to stay balanced.
Stay balanced.
Stay balanced.
Sure. Awesome stuff, Doc. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you.
One last question.
Sure.
Some people can just swing it faster than others.
Yes.
Right? Like there's some people that just have the ability.
Hey, well, that's again, I looked into this. It's muscle twitch, fast and slow muscles. It's sprinters. So they have shown that's where swinging fast actually, one of the way you can recruit those fast twitch muscles is with strength exercise. That's a known fact that if you do strength exercising, that you can incorporate those fast twitch muscles.
Really?
Yes.
This has been fun.
Yes.
Thanks so much for taking the time. And also just thanks for coming to take the lessons. I have a blast. I learn more than you do when you come hang out.
Oh, back to those fast twitch. I'm sorry. But, you know, I looked at sprinters. You know what do they do? They sprint. They do box jumping because they explode those fast twitch muscles. And then they did physiological tests and they showed that they had more recruitment with lifting. So
we teach you to hit it further as long as you can stay in balance.
Swing fast, stay in balance, and then when you're not, do a certain amount of weightlifting to help incorporate those
fast. Be strong enough to do it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Doc, you're the best.
So, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero. And look, recently, several teachers I know and several players have had some scares with skin cancer. In fact, I recently went and saw a dermatologist here in town, and I had a couple things frozen off, eyelid, my face, my earlobe, and not getting any younger. And I know it's getting to that time of the season where it's cooler, but look, being in the sun is a real deal, and I've not been very good, to be totally honest, my whole career at using it at all because I didn't like how greasy it was, how hard it was to get off your hands, how it clogged up my pores. And then I found this sunscreen, Visor Skincare. It's clear, it goes on, it doesn't dry you out, it isn't greasy, it's like you didn't put anything on. By far, it's the best sunscreen I've ever used, without a doubt, is the easiest to use. And we've got a discount code for all of you. All you have to do is go to visorskincare.com, is use our code word, DewSweeper. VisorSkincare.com, code word DewSweeper. I just want to remind everybody something that I forgot. Recently, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went out. We went to a wedding, and afterwards, with some friends, we were like, hey, where's a great place to go? I'll be honest, like, in my travels and day-to-day, sometimes I get caught up and I forget some of the great places right around the corner. But I got to remind you about the Icebox Bar on 755 Monroe Street. I was blown away by just the whole vibe, the atmosphere, and with the Velvet Pig, the food in the back room, and the big screen TVs up front. We sat there and watched some playoff games. I was blown away by the atmosphere, the vibe, and just how cool it was to have the Icebox Bar right here near the DewSweepers downtown, near where I live. You're looking for a great place to go sit, watch some games, hang out, play some pool. You got to go to the Icebox Bar right there on Monroe Street. There's a good chance you'll see all of us hanging out. But do yourself a favor. Go visit the Icebox. It's one of the best places out there.